Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Let's give the worship team one more hand. They work hard, and they're doing good. It's good to see Mr. John Ranger back from wherever he was. I'm not going to tell you. So you guys doing good?
Yes.
Yeah? Early morning? Yes. Hot day? You guys got up early? I'm glad. Want to welcome the campuses, Northwest and Tehachapi, and everyone who's online. Thanks for being with us today. I wanted to brag a little bit about our church. It's difficult sometimes to do the job we do from the pulpit, and we feel like we have a huge responsibility. And one of the reasons is because you guys are warriors. You guys are fighters. You guys made it through couple of the most difficult years on record, and you're still here. And, give yourself a hand. I mean, really, that's amazing. I was fortunate enough yesterday to be able to go on one of our little Mighty Men retreats. It was just a day thing, but we went up to the mountains, did a little bit of off-roading, and we ended up in this 7,000-foot elevation spot, and we took out these camp chairs, and we all sat around and talked about what God was doing in our lives, and it was just so cool to see how humble and how real, but yet how full of faith our leaders are, some of our leaders. And so really cool. If you want to sign up for one of those trips in the future, make sure you get involved with Mighty Men for you men. Women, I'm sure we'll have something for you guys soon. I heard something about a fiesta lunch, so that's fun. But I think we'll be doing stuff up at that house as well for you guys. But today I'm going to talk to you guys about wisdom, the rules of wisdom. And I was thinking about all of the different things that are going on right now. Right? Vaccines, masks, political fights that you have with people, right? Some of you guys are literally afraid that you're going to lose your job or afraid that you're going to have to fight with somebody at work, right? The truth is that VBF, we are not here to give you any advice on what you should do as far as vaccines or masks or work or all that stuff goes. We're not here to give you that advice. That's not our place. Our place is to lead you to the foot of Jesus. And with Jesus, right, you have all the forgiveness of sins. And that enables you to connect to God through the Holy Spirit. And so we're here to lead you to Him, to ask Him for the wisdom and for the guidance. There's a difference between, as we'll see in this study today, there's a difference between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. There's a big difference. And today I'm going to give you guys five rules of wisdom that I believe if you apply these rules, that it could change your life. And it could also give you peace. It can give you peace. How many of us need peace right now, right? It's a huge need. We need to be not only partakers and receivers of peace, we need to be people who spread peace to other people, right? And so when we follow the Lord's guidance, when we follow the Holy Spirit, when we follow His voice, we are given this wisdom. And when we follow that wisdom, we know that we're following God. And when we're following God, why worry? Why be stressed? Why be fearful of what could happen tomorrow. See, tomorrow isn't here yet, right? And today, when I look around, and I'm assuming that at the other campuses it's the same, you guys actually have heartbeats. You guys are breathing. You guys are sitting here. You guys are okay today, right? We're good today. Tomorrow, who knows what's going to happen, but that's not our problem. Today is what we need to focus on. And today, God has given us some really powerful tools in how to handle life and how to not only handle life, but how to thrive in life, right? So let's pray. And I believe God is going to speak to you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
The God of the universe, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he might be busy, but yet he still has time for you. And he wants to talk to you individually about your life, about your decisions. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are, for what you do, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, please, God, speak to us. Lord, you always do, and I thank you for that. I think the problem comes when we struggle to listen. And so I pray that you'd help us to set aside all the burdens, all the worries, all the fears. Help us to set aside anything that would keep us from hearing. God, help us to be listeners, to be people who really do take seriously your word. And help us to apply that to our lives and let it change us. God, help us not to be stagnant people, but help us to be growing people. God, I pray that you would take our hearts, take our minds, take our bodies today, Lord, and just lead us where you want us to go. It's wherever you are, and that's where we want to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, rules of wisdom. Before I start, I'm going to share a quote from a wonderful author who has passed away, but he was amazing. He was the editor of this Bible. I finally figured out how to pronounce his name. It's Spyros Zodiates. And he wrote this. Go ahead and put up that first slide, Sandy. About wisdom, he said, the word in the original Greek is Sophia. Sophia, that's a nice name, right? Any of you guys expecting out there, expecting a girl? Sophia, that's a good name for you, right? Sophia means wisdom. The original Greek is Sophia, which among the Jews was recognized first as an attribute of God and then became identified with the Spirit of God. So wisdom from God, Sophia wisdom, right, is different than worldly wisdom. It's funny because I Googled, where does wisdom come from? And you know what happened? You know what popped up? It literally said, from God, on Google. The internet agrees that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God, right? Which is really interesting. Spyros goes on to say, wisdom, we believe, is a synonym of logos, of the word, which is we found in John 1, which we'll read in a second. And it refers to that perfection and eternity, which is to be found only in God the Father, manifested to the world through his Son, the Lord Jesus, and existing in the world today only through his Holy Spirit. Look at John 1, 1 through 3. And it says, so Spyros says that this is a synonym. The word, which is logos, is a synonym for wisdom. So in the beginning was the word. The logos, the wisdom. And the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So John is speaking about Jesus here, right? He's explaining Jesus as God's word, as God's idea, right? As God's creation, as God's plan. And when we live by the wisdom of God, we are living in that plan, the plan that was set forth from the very, very, very beginning, right? And that plan, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you can see that the plan is very simple, that God created man and he created woman to hang out with him. Right? He created us to be with him, to live with him in harmony. And that was his plan then, and that is his plan now. And so to walk by wisdom, by God's wisdom, means to walk in relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Right? That's what it means. And I think that many times we take this for granted, the gift that we have of salvation. We think, oh, we have this ticket to heaven, you know, we have this forgiveness of sins, and that's great, it's wonderful, right? Awesome, I'm glad we're all going to heaven. But we also have full, total access to God, the God of the universe, because of what Jesus did. If we receive him into our heart, if we believe that God raised him from the dead, right, and confess him as Lord, then we have full access. We're forgiven of all of our sins, all the nasty things you do, because there's a voice, right? We all know. There's a voice deep inside of us saying, you're not good enough. There's a voice deep inside of you saying, you don't have what it takes. You don't belong here. You're not one of them. But the truth of the matter is, we are all the same. We are all sinners in need of grace. And we all have that grace. And because of that grace, because of what Jesus did, we have full access to God because we're cleansed from our sins. Just like a high priest in the old days when they walked into the temple. When they would walk into the temple, they would have to tie a rope around these men in case they had sin. Because if they did, they would fall down dead and they would drag them out, right? And for those of us today, I think we feel the same way. We think, tie a rope around me, I'm going into church, right? I may not make it out. But the truth is you don't need a rope because you are fully cleansed if you're a believer in Christ, right? And I don't know who needs that today, but I know that the devil's a liar, and I know that he's been lying to you. And I know that he's been telling you that you're not good enough. Well, welcome to the club, right? Welcome to the club. It's Club Jesus. It's the club that we all are in, right? We all need his grace. All of us. Every single one of us. And that's what makes it special, is that we're able to come here together and listen to the voice of the Lord because of what Jesus did, right? So all wisdom should lead us back to Jesus. So that wasn't one of the rules. That's the intro. The rule one of wisdom is this. Rule number one, wisdom is free. Just ask. Just ask. Look at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Stop there. Stop there, Sandy. Go back to that verse. I want to go back to that first verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. Who's included in all? Guess what? You are included in all, right? You are. And so if you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. He'll give it to you generously, right? Without reproach, without looking down upon you for asking. It's free. You might as well ask. But there is a but, right? And that's the next couple of verses. Go ahead and go to the next verse. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. I've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, and we finished the book of James. So if you want to go back and look at this in a deeper study, you go ahead and look at those, watch those online, the James studies. But this idea of being double-minded, go ahead and put that next slide up, Sandy. The Greek word for double-minded is dipsoukos, which means the one who has two souls. It's one personality but two souls. This describes the person who behaves in two dramatically opposite ways according to what is expedient. It's somebody who believes in their heart that, you know, God is good and that you need to follow him, but yet you have another desire in your heart that competes with that, and you have this struggle, right, that ensues. You guys know about the struggle. And because you have the struggle, the devil has a foothold to lie to you, right? And that's the problem. But don't be double-minded. Be single-minded. Be focused and say, God, I need wisdom, and I believe that you're going to give me wisdom. Because if you don't, then I can't move forward. I can't move forward, God. It's being single-minded, right? It's interesting also that James here teaches us to ask for wisdom rather than a miracle, right? He teaches us to ask for wisdom because wisdom, it requires personal responsibility, because now you have the tools and you have to do something about it, right? Wisdom is different than a miracle. Miracles are good, and sometimes we need miracles. But many times God won't give us a miracle because he wants to give us wisdom, and he wants us to work through it. He wants us to know that we have this power by the Holy Spirit, that we can work with him, right? That it's a great co-mission, that we can work with him and get it done. He wants us to have confidence in ourselves as well as him, right? And so God will give us wisdom sometimes instead of a miracle, right? Here's a couple notes on doubt. Doubt comes when our personal desires get in the way. Sometimes we come to God and we have personal desires and we think that we know what's best and we know what we want. And so we kind of come to God with an agenda, right? And when we come to God, it's always best to lay that agenda down, because you won't get far when you come to God and tell him what you need, right? Sometimes we just don't know. The second note on doubt is that we give our attention to too many authorities sometimes, right? We have the internet. We listen to all these different voices, but yet we're asking God for wisdom, and we're asking Tony Robbins for wisdom as well. So Tony Robbins and God, can you guys just like combine together and give me some, you know, or whatever author or whatever person you might listen to online? It's foolishness. Go to God first, right? It's okay. You can definitely find wisdom in other places for sure. God can lead you to many different things, but in the end, we have to make sure that we go to God first. Another note on doubt is we lose focus and we forget to look for the answers that God gives us. Sometimes we pray and ask God for wisdom, and then we close the journal or whatever it is that we're using at the time, or we stop our prayer time, we move on, and we forget to actually look for the answer, to actually look for the wisdom that God is going to give us, right? We think that because he didn't give us the answer right then and there during our prayer time, that he's not going to give it to us at all. And that's foolishness, because how many times have you been driving down the street or doing something completely different and you just have a thought, or you just know that God is speaking to you and showing you something, and you weren't expecting it. You weren't expecting it at the moment that he gave it to you, right? God likes to surprise us. So be ready for that surprise. So the results of faith and focus is answered prayer, by the way, or a changed heart, okay? The result of doubt and wavering is a divided mind and instability. We don't want to be unstable. All right, so rule number two is this. Wisdom is not always welcomed by others. So if you're going to ask God for wisdom, he may give it to you, but then when you choose to impart that wisdom on your friends or your neighbors, they may not like it, because they may not want it, because that might infer some sort of responsibility on them, and they don't want that responsibility. Look at Acts chapter 6, 8 through 10. It says this, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, included both Cyrenians and Alexandrians and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." They were unable to cope with it. They couldn't cope with this wisdom from God. Many people that you want to share the wisdom that God gave you with, they can't cope with it, and they don't like it. Of course, we know what happened to Stephen. These men end up stoning him in the next chapter, right? End up killing him. Maybe that won't happen here, right? Maybe it will. I don't know, but maybe it won't happen here. But sometimes we're ostracized and we're, you know, made fun of or ignored because of the wisdom that God gave us. And so just be careful. I mean, sometimes it's still God's will that you share it, though, and sometimes it's not. So just pray. Wisdom is more than just getting answers. It's knowing how to use those answers, right? It's much, much wider. Wisdom requires 24 hours a day kind of thing. You know, it's not just, okay, God, thanks for the answer. I'm going to go live my life now. It's, okay, God, thank you for that part of the answer. I'm going to move forward in that until you give me the next part. God will give you bits and pieces as you go. He will never give you the entire thing. I mean, what if you woke up tomorrow and a messenger that looked like an angel rolled in and knocked on your door? And they were like glowing, and they just gave you this like scroll, and they said, "Here's the instructions for the rest of your life. Now God will see you in heaven, okay?" And he just kind of backs up. I would mess that up big time. I don't know about you guys, but I'd probably lose the scroll. I would probably I would be looking at it and be like, "I don't even know what to do with this." I would mess the whole thing up. So I'm glad that God gives us bite-sized chunks of wisdom to use daily, right? I'm glad that he does. So rule number three, wisdom from God is much different than the wisdom of the world. Simple stuff, but it's true, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:20 says this. "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Right? It is, because God knows everything. He knows it all. He knows what's going to happen with Bitcoin. God knows. Right? He knows everything. It was a joke. You guys are supposed to laugh. It's cool. It always works the second time when I make fun of myself or you. So 26 through 30, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30, says this: "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble," right? "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God," right? "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption," right? It's like knockoff Oakley's. Back in the day, when I was young, my family used to take vacations to Tijuana. I don't know why, but we did. I think it was because we went down there for the knockoff sunglasses and the knockoff t-shirts, you know, the Quicksilvers and the Oakley's and all this stuff, right? So I used to go down there, and I would get excited because we didn't get real Oakley's back then. We just got the fake ones. And so we would get these glasses, and I'd wear them to school, and the kids would be like, "Oh man, those are awesome. You got those new Oakley's." "Yeah, let me see them." No. They have to stay. I have to keep them on, you know. So you don't want to look at them closely because they're Folkleys. They're fake, right? They're not real. And they're knockoff, right? You guys have all been there, right? When we seek wisdom without coming to God first, you're very likely to get the knockoff version of wisdom. And from far away, it might look good. It might sound good, right? Quotes, they might sound great, wonderful, but when you get close, it's just not what it should be, right? It's not what it's supposed to be. Look at the third slide, the next slide about understanding. I think it's the next slide. Oh, well, next. I guess she wants me to go to the next one. Yeah, you're right. Okay, she's right, I'm wrong. Okay, rule number four, wisdom and understanding are a package deal. Look at Colossians 1, 9 through 12. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of life." Look back at verse 9 real quick. Sandy, can you pull that? So it says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom." So there's a spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now that word understanding basically means experienced, intelligent, having the knowledge of an expert. It's really true understanding. And wisdom and understanding kind of go together. So if you have wisdom, you're going to be able to understand. The word understanding also means, it's like the idea of, you know, those children's drawing projects where you connect the dots and you go from one thing to another. And of course, you look at them now and you know exactly what it is before you even start connecting dots. But when you're a kid, your mind is blown because you go from one dot to the next, and all of a sudden there's this picture that pops up and you're like, "Oh, it was a tiger," you know, or whatever, and your mind is blown. It's so fun to see my kids go through these projects and they're so excited about these things. Well, understanding is like that. When you walk by wisdom and walk close to the Lord in wisdom, you start to have an understanding of the bigger picture, and it goes piece by piece, you know, dot by dot, but eventually you're able to see his plan for your life, right, start to unfold. And when you see that, there's no going back. There's no other life that compares to living a life where God is creating this masterpiece with you, and he's doing something with you. And it's not that you're amazing, but it's that he's amazing, and he's doing something that is really, really, really awesome in you, right? So wisdom and understanding are a package deal. I don't know if you guys need understanding, but it's nice to know where you're at in life. And it's very nice to know. And I think crucial to know where you're at with God, right? And that's why we always come here, so we can ask ourselves, God, where am I at with you, right? And he tells us. Rule number five, the last one, is God's wisdom leads us to truth. God's wisdom leads us to truth. Look at John 14:6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Okay? So Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? This word truth is the Greek word aletheia, and it's different than the truth that we get from other sources. And it's funny, this morning I told the guys backstage, I said, I forgot my pot. And they said, what? And I said, I forgot my pot. And they're like, your pot? I was like, yeah, I was going to bring a pot with a lid this morning. And they're like, oh, okay. And I did forget it, but I was going to bring this pot. It's like it's a Dutch oven pot, right? My wife has this Dutch oven thing, and it's really heavy, and I'm glad I didn't bring it because then I don't have to hold it. But you get the idea. It's a Dutch oven, has a lid on it, and I was going to show you guys and ask you guys if you knew what was inside there, what were the contents. And, of course, the lid was going to be on top of it, and you wouldn't know what the contents are. And the way that I think media, the way that some elites and some certain people that think they can control the narrative, the way that they teach truth is they say, you know what, you don't need to know what's in this pot. I'm going to tell you about what's in this pot, because if you knew exactly what was in there, right, you wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. So we're just going to tell you what we think you should know about this, right? And that's the way that the world, society, media, these different people, that's the way that they share truth. But God's version of truth, aletheia, the actual definition of aletheia, means an uncovering. It means pulling back the veil. It means showing you what's actually there. So God's version of the truth is to show us this pot and say, open, pull off the lid, look for yourself, see what's there. And when we walk in wisdom with God, we start to see what's actually there. We start to see the truth as it was meant to be shown to us, right? Rather than what somebody else thinks we ought to know. Right? Vaccines, for example, okay? It's confusing. COVID, it's confusing. Mask, it's confusing, right? I know people that have been in the hospital for COVID, and I'm like, it's dangerous. And then, but you guys, then you read all these stories about the vaccine. It's dangerous, right? So what do you do? You're some of you guys are being told that you're gonna have to quit your job, or you're gonna be fired because you don't get vaccinated. Like, what do you do? Truth is, I don't know what you need to do, but that's why you need to go to God and ask Him what you need to do, right? Some of you might need the vaccine. Some of you might not. I don't know. But you do. My job is not to tell you what you... My job is not to show you the pot and keep it covered. My job is to open it up and say, here is the truth. The truth is that you have full access to a God who knows what you ought to do. And you have full access to His gift, which is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died, He rose again. He came into a room with His church and He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit because you're going to need Him. And He gave them the Holy Spirit. And then He said, okay, now I'm going to go up to heaven, prepare a place for you guys. But you have my Holy Spirit. And we have the same Holy Spirit. And we're able to pray and ask God for wisdom and say, Lord, please guide me. Show me what you want to show me. Holy Spirit, please just open up my heart and show me what you want to show me. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Whatever it is, whether it's vaccines or what other difficult decisions you have, bring them to the altar. Bring them to God. Ask Him. And if He doesn't give you an answer today, pray like Elijah prayed. Ask God for rain, then go check and see if it's cloudy, right? Then come back and ask Him for rain, then go check and see if it's cloudy. Then come back and ask Him for rain, and then go back and see if it's cloudy. Continue. Be fervent. Don't give up. God will give you the answer, or He will change your heart and give you peace. One of the two will happen. I guarantee it. Just don't give up on God. Yeah. Don't. Do what God calls us to do, and then everything will be okay. You'll have peace. You'll know, right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. God, I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have the confidence to know, not because of how we've lived our lives, but because of what you've done. Lord, we are able to come to you. We're able to come to you. And we're able to ask for wisdom. And I just pray, Lord, for just a portion of faith and just assurance that we're going to receive from you what we need to receive. And Father, I know there are people here today that are trying to make decisions, difficult decisions. And I pray, Lord, that you give them wisdom. You give them guidance. Lord, you give them grace. And also, Lord, I ask that you give us all peace in knowing that you're going to take care of it as long as we continue to come to you. We love you, Lord. If anybody's here today and wants to give your life to the Lord, you want to get prayer, there are people up front to get prayer. So right as soon as I say amen, come up and get that prayer, okay? You come up and get that prayer. Don't leave without doing that. Father, we thank you for everything. I pray you give everyone courage today. Let us be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.